Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Dr. Carl not joining us today, but Bianca Nograddy is. She's an Australian freelance science journalist. She's an author, and she is going to answer our burning science questions. If you have any questions, 34519 or 0618951019. Bianca, good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Howard. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So it's actually perfect that we were asking about this, we were chatting about the hummingbird a little bit earlier, because we wanted to ask you, or I did rather, why birds don't get cold feet standing in freezing conditions. I look at them and my fingers feel cold.
Absolutely. It always makes me shiver, especially in winter when you see them standing with their feet in freezing cold water. And I don't like having cold feet. And as I'm standing here, I have thick socks and woolly boots on. But the trick that birds have is that they still need to keep blood flowing to their feet. They need to get oxygen into those, into the cells of their feet, because otherwise those cells will die and they'll have big problems. But especially in winter, if they have a lot of blood, of warm blood going to their feet, then they're going to lose a lot of heat through their feet. Now, bird feet actually don't have a lot of muscle in them. They're mostly bones and tendons and skin, but they still need blood flow and they still need a little bit of heat. And so what birds and other, particularly wading birds that spend so much time with their feet in water, they actually have a really interesting structure of blood vessels in their legs, so about halfway down their legs. And the Latin name of this translates to marvelous net. And essentially it's a lacy network of veins, which are the blood vessels that bring blood back to the heart to get oxygen and to get warm, and arteries, which are the vessels that take blood from the heart out to the rest of the body. So this network is set up so that the veins and the arteries, so the warm arteries and the cold veins, are actually right alongside each other. And so what happens is the warm blood, when it comes from the bird's body, travels down towards their feet. But as it passes alongside the cold blood that's coming back from their feet, some of the heat is actually transferred before it gets to their feet. So it's almost like there's a little shortcut in their blood vessels that allows the heat to get transferred from the warm arteries to the cold veins. But the blood itself still goes and travels around the feet, so that their feet still get the blood, they still get the oxygen and the nutrients, and they get a little bit of heat, but not too much, so that the bird doesn't lose a lot of its really valuable body heat, even when it might be standing on ice, for example, if you see birds in winter standing on frozen ponds. And we actually have some similar structures like this in parts of our body. So our kidneys, which are really important to help remove toxins from our blood, and our kidneys is what makes wee or urine. We actually have something similar to this, but instead of exchanging heat, this marvelous net, or the retia mirabilia, is actually exchanging waste products, so salts and our substances that we then excrete when we have a wee. And also penguins have a similar structure in their flippers, so that they can keep blood circulating in their flippers, but that blood can sort of can stay a bit lower temperature, and they still manage to keep heat in their body. So it's a really neat little system. And sloths have a similar system for their limbs.
Incredible. You know, because we often don't think about that animals in the wild, and that these birds are standing on ice and seem to be absolutely fine. They're not hopping up and down like we would, because absolutely, it's so unpleasant.
But it's a really useful sort of evolutionary trick, I guess, because they don't feel the cold as well. They don't, it doesn't bother them as much, but they still need the blood there. They just don't need as much heat to go to their feet like we do. Especially me right now.
Absolutely, yeah. South Africa, of course, winter as well. Hoping we're going to be moving to a little bit warmer, some warmer weather, which I think is happening. So we love asking these questions. Who would win between A and B? So in a battle of brains, who would win between a magpie or magpies or dogs?
So this is a fun one because, and it's difficult for me because, the Australian magpie is my favorite bird. They're such characters. And dogs are my favorite animals. So I really struggled with this. I really didn't know who was going to win. So we'll talk about the magpie first. So in Australia, magpies, there's lots of different types of magpies around the world, but Australian magpies are known to be able to recognize human faces, and they can remember the faces of humans that they like. So, for example, if you feed them, and they remember the faces of humans that they don't like. And in spring here in Australia, magpies get very protective of their nests, and so they will actually swoop and attack people that they don't like, and they remember those people, and they will swoop them year after year. And what's most interesting as well is not only do they remember friend or foe in humans, but they will actually communicate that to other magpies. So they gossip. And they tell other magpies, amazing, the good humans and the bad humans. Another feature with magpies is that they're one of the few animals that can recognize its own reflection. So this is actually, there's only four animal species other than humans that can actually do this. It's called the mirror test. So dogs, that's unfortunately, don't so recognize smart. Their own reflection. Yes, so but dogs are very good at reading humans' facial expressions. So anybody who has a dog knows that their dog really responds to, you know, when you're looking angry or sad or happy, dogs can really respond to that. And they can also read, I guess, get a sense of what's going on between two humans. So they can tell if there's a human that's not very nice talking to their, you know, their owner, and they can remember that. And in Moscow, in Russia, there are stray dogs that have actually worked out how to use the city's subway, the train system. And so these stray dogs get on the train, go to where they want to go, get off, and then they can get back on, come back. So they've actually worked out how to use these very complicated underground railway system. So this is a tricky one. I actually don't know who is the winner. I think maybe magpies by a beak would be my verdict.
Absolutely love that. And this is one of our favorite things to do. Who would win between something and something else? Bianca Nograti, Australian freelance science journalist and author. Thanks for joining us today. Absolutely fascinating insights and answers to our questions. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.